And Rhino, he's not even an issue. I don't sweat Rhino.
Are you ready?
Yes, it's the Rhino. Yes. I just want the paper. Uh-huh. I done came down so clean. I'm shining on the haters. Ain't none better than me. Paint wetter than he. 400
degrees. And out come Rhino.
Rhino. Yes. I just want the paper. Uh-huh. I done came down so clean. I'm shining on the haters. Ain't none better than me. Paint wetter than he. 400 degrees.
Look out. Look out, Rhino. Here comes Rhino.
I just want the paper. Uh-huh. I done came down so clean. I'm shining on the haters. Ain't none better than me. Paint wetter than he. 400 degrees.
Rhino! Rhino! It's Rhino! That was Rhino!
Better thrill.
The veteran Rhino came in.
In the grill, for real. This year, I take no.
The veteran Rhino came in.
Uh-huh. For real, we both.
Rhino Wrestling Review back in your orbit, circling your star system? I don't know how the universe works, but we're back. Once again, Dan Rhino, brought to you by our friends at ProWrestling.com. Flying solo again this week. But nonetheless, I am here, and I have you with me to keep me company. As we head toward Elimination Chamber this Sunday, we are going to do a very special segment of Take 5 here in the first segment of the show. And then in the final segment, segment 2, we will talk about Elimination Chamber and give you some of our picks, which no doubt will be 75 to 90% incorrect. But we're going to give them to you anyway, because that's what we do here on the Rhino Wrestling Review. Again, brought to you by our friends at ProWrestling.com. So let's start off with a very special edition of Take 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh man alive, it's number 5.
In this edition of Take 5, I am going to give you some of the performers and some of the big names in pro wrestling this week, both who have been jumping up the ranks and some that are falling back down. So for each number, I'm going to give you somebody who is trending downward, and then I'm also going to give you somebody who is looking like things are heading on the up and up for them. So let's start with number one. The road to WrestleMania took a detour for Royal Rumble winner Becky Lynch on Monday night. Becky Lynch is going to be my first wrestler that I want to talk about that kind of had a bad week this week. Earlier in the night on Monday Night Raw, Triple H and Stephanie told Becky that she would have to apologize for striking them the last couple weeks if she wanted to remain on the WrestleMania 35 card. And Becky Lynch offered a half-hearted apology at the end of the show, which apparently was enough for Triple H and Stephanie, until the trio would be interrupted by one Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Congratulations, you're going to WrestleMania.
Very emotional confrontation between these two superstars earlier tonight back in the locker room area. Ronda said, do the right thing, make this match happen. Becky apologized.
Whoa, it's the chairman.
Whoa. Hang on, no. So before you actually do something silly out there, let me get this off my chest. I think that Stephanie's right. That could be one of the greatest main events of all time. It could be. But Becky, I think you're bigger than WWE. You've got an attitude, you got a bad attitude. I don't like bad attitudes. That goes for you too, Ronda. So you're not the man. I'm the man. Sometimes a man has to make tough decisions, okay? And here's one of them. Becky, you're suspended for 60 days. I'm not going to accept your apology. They may. I'm not, okay? Which means, let's see, that suspension runs out, 5 days after this WrestleMania. We need someone to take your place, someone with charisma, someone with charm, someone who knows their lane and they stay in it. We need someone who's going to take Ronda to the limit. We need Charlotte Flair.
Oh,
just happened?
The man just happened. The boss, the chairman.
Wow.
Mr. McMahon just took Becky out of the WrestleMania match against Ronda and replaced her with Charlotte Flair.
So as you heard, WWE Chairman Vince McMahon chose to suspend Becky Lynch for 60 days. And if we stretch out that suspension, that would extend beyond WrestleMania 35. And then he would announce that Charlotte Flair would actually be the one challenging Ronda Rousey for that Raw Women's Championship. And this goes back to several weeks ago, where after Becky announced that she would take on Ronda at WrestleMania, Wrestling Observer Radio's Dave Meltzer actually reported that WWE planned to make the Raw Women's title match a triple threat affair with Lynch, Ronda, and Charlotte all involved. And I think plenty of fans will justifiably argue that Becky and Ronda would be perfectly fine in a singles bout. The storyline could be headed in an interesting direction as we're here on the road to WrestleMania, because Ronda really has an intimidating presence about her. There's no doubt about that. But her feud with Becky has really exposed at a few times Ronda's limitations on the microphone. And Ronda has been flustered a few times. And in that era, in that aura of frustration, she's actually come out with some good, authentic stuff, but struggled a little bit leading up to getting the good parts of those promos out. But you add to that the fact that WWE and Ronda herself are visibly upset. You can see it on Ronda's face, and then seemingly upset behind the scenes on WWE's case, with the overtly heel response from the crowd that Ronda is getting. So now with Charlotte in the mix, Charlotte can be the clear heel heading into WrestleMania. The fan uproar is directed more toward Flair, and some of the heel heat is taken off of Ronda. So while we're fully expecting Becky to at some point earn her way back into this WrestleMania potential main event, if and when she does, Becky could have the opportunity to overcome Rousey, but also Vince McMahon, you know, the best villain in wrestling history, and his hand-picked champion Charlotte Flair. But for now, times are a little tough for Becky. So this goes hand-in-hand with my wrestler that's trending up this week, that being one Charlotte Flair. So despite fans pretty much demanding Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey in the first ever all-women's main event at WrestleMania, this would be a situation that would seemingly leave Charlotte without a high-profile match if it was to be Ronda and Becky one-on-one. And this was after Charlotte being involved in two of the better matches in recent WrestleMania history. The triple threat match a couple years back, and then the match against Asuka last year, which I thought was actually the best match on the card. But Charlotte is now positioned as the most hated wrestler in the company, so she's in that top tier heel role in a potential main event match on the biggest show of the year. Charlotte's making big appearances on both Raw and SmackDown, and she is the chosen one of Vince McMahon herself. So things are looking up for the daughter of the two-time Hall of Famer Ric Flair, that being Charlotte. Let's go to number two. After getting a big debut victory over former world champion Dean Ambrose last week, another person looking down on Raw is EC3, as EC3 succumbed to the dreaded 50-50 WWE booking this week, with Ambrose getting his win back over EC3 via a roll-up. And it's important to keep Ambrose strong, especially since he's leaving the company very soon. Yeah, you want to make sure you get him a bunch of wins. You want to make sure he looks good right before he leaves you. So you sense the sarcasm there. EC3 looks great, but they're not letting him talk. They're not letting him build his character. And he wasn't even on NXT long enough to do these things there. So I actually thought that a character like EC3 would be better on the main roster than NXT because of how his character is portrayed and is supposed to be portrayed. And EC3's in-ring style, I thought, fit better with the WWE product than the NXT product. But it looks like WWE is determined to just sign a bunch of people, like to fill out the roster, keep them away from the competition. And EC3, as a result, is really stuck in no man's land right now. he is stuck in a situation where the WWE has a overflowing roster, and despite having several hours of TV a week, there's just not enough creative juice and not enough time to get all these guys and gals in prominent roles. And it's a really dangerous situation for a guy like EC3, because once you're branded as a mid-carder, or once you're branded as a forgotten person who doesn't even have to be on TV regularly, when WWE brass decides, oh, we don't need to have this guy on TV, you're basically just there collecting a paycheck. And it's a good paycheck, don't get me wrong. But you just don't have any opportunity for character growth, and you don't have any opportunity for legitimately getting yourself over. Even someone like Zack Ryder, who went above and beyond, he went way higher than any wrestler that I can think of in order to up his profile on his own time and on his own dime and via his own efforts, using YouTube and using social media. Even with all that, Zack Ryder only received a temporary bump or a temporary push before he went nearly all of 2018 without appearing on Raw. And I'm worried that things like that could be, similar things like that could be in store for Ethan Carter III. On the other hand, someone coming up from NXT who recently has a little steam is Ruby Riott. And as a leader of the Riott Squad, Ruby has been featured prominently over the last several months, even when she's been injured. But now Ruby gets a one-on-one opportunity that's kind of flying under the radar against Ronda Rousey at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view this Sunday. And after Ronda disposed of Ruby's Riott Squad sisters on Raw a couple weeks back, I was kind of worried that Ruby was going to get into the ring right after Liv and Sarah and kind of have suffered the same fate. But instead, Ruby's going to get a showcase match at Elimination Chamber against Ronda Rousey. And I really expect Ruby to have a good showing here and get herself over, despite the fact that we all know she's not leaving Elimination Chamber with the women's title. But this is a showcase opportunity for Ruby. And I really like that she's getting a high-profile match to showcase what she can do. So hopefully, despite the inevitable forthcoming loss, Ruby will be able to get Ronda in some trouble in that match, get some near falls, and look really good in the process like Sasha did at the Royal Rumble, instead of just getting buried like her fellow Riott Squad members. Let's go to number 3. Remember Finn Balor and Drew McIntyre? Drew was a guy that my partner Jason Calcibetta and I had pegged as a world champion in 2019. He had humbled Kurt Angle on Raw. He was dominating in the process, and he seemed like he was poised for a true run at the top. But now what's he up to? Drew McIntyre is right back to wrestling matches that coincided with a feud that we thought he was done with. Another wrestler that we thought that he had wrapped up his feud with, and I'll get to that in a moment. And Drew is wrestling in meaningless six-man tag matches on Raw. And the man he wrestled again on Raw this week, the aforementioned or alluded to Finn Balor. So I'm gonna package Drew and Finn together on number 3 here as a couple of wrestlers who seemingly were starting off 2019 with high expectations and have kind of just fallen back to being faces in the crowd. This is the same Finn Balor who seemingly came out of wrestling purgatory just last month to overcome all that beef.
There's a lot of beef out here against all this beef.
Earn his title shot against Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, take Brock to the limit, even hit the coup de grace finisher on Brock, yet lose in the process. And while it looks like Finn is headed toward an intercontinental title feud with Bobby Lashley and actually taking on Bobby Lashley and for some reason Leo Rush in a handicap match for the intercontinental title this Sunday, Balor was really on the precipice of something cool with the Lesnar matchup, only to have Brock no-sell Finn's finisher and tap him out just seconds later. So Finn beats Drew via DQ on Raw this week, then goes into the same mismatch six-man tag that Drew is in. And again, they're just faces in the crowd instead of top stars. So if Finn wins the Intercontinental title, something that he's been close to but before but never gotten, does that change our opinion of him And if you had to book WrestleMania right now, what would be your matchups for Drew and Finn? And whatever those matchups would it be something worth caring about? Finn seems like the perfect candidate for somebody to be wooed by AEW, All Elite Wrestling, sometime in the near future. He just seems like the prototypical guy that they would want to get on their roster. Though I'm not sure what the Finn Balor contract status is. But speaking of people that are would be prime prospects for an eventual AEW signing, the Revival are trending up this week as they are your new Raw Tag Team Champions, defeating the still kind of weird combination of Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. And Gable apparently is just going to do Bobby Roode's gimmick forever, I guess, since they can't find anything else to do with him. But the push of the Revival has coincided with the emergence of AEW, which also precipitated reports of the Revival requesting their WWE release a few weeks back. But it looks like WWE is trying to keep those top guys, quote-unquote, happy by putting the titles on them. Although, in the long run, this might be a moot point. You look at the lack of heat and the lack of focus in the tag team division on both rosters. I mean, Shane McMahon is one half of the tag champs on SmackDown. And one of the Usos, who's challenging for those titles, allegedly, according to TMZ, is taking off his shirt to square up to fight police officers. But for now, the Revival is your tag champs and ending the week on a high note. Even though having those tag belts, I don't know where it really takes you. But it is the first tag team gold that the Revival has garnered on the main roster. So good news for Dash and Dawson this week. Let's go to number four. Another person who's kind of just fallen back into the crowd, another member of that six-man crap show on Raw this past week, was former world title challenger turned Kurt Angle bodyguard Braun Strowman.
There's a lot of beef out here.
Who, like I said, is apparently just now Kurt Angle's bodyguard. So maybe, I don't know, man, maybe Braun is just not meant to go any further than he already has. Every time it seems like this is the time we're going to pull the trigger. No, this is the time we're going to pull the trigger on Braun. Last year, Braun teamed with a 10-year-old kid to win the tag team titles in a farce of a segment on WrestleMania. And now, what's he going to be? Is he going to be tagging with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania? I don't know. But for some reason, the crowd is fascinated with the Get These Hands chant. They're fascinated when Braun's music hits. I don't get that excitement. Braun doesn't do anything for me. And he's become another afterthought on Raw and another victim of a roster that is overly crowded. I don't know how many times you can get this guy right up to where he's got his hand on the doorknob to open up that door of WWE champion, only to, you know, push him back to the end of the hallway, only for him to build his way back up to the door again. But I'm going to continue to harp on the fact that the WWE just has too much talent signed.
There's a lot of beef out here.
The roster is crowded simply for the fact that WWE wants to hoard as much talent as they can, not to use them, just to have them. On SmackDown, however, we had a veteran have a memorable show this past week, with New Day member Kofi Kingston earning a standing ovation and overly positive feedback online for what he did in-ring in the Elimination Chamber Gauntlet match. Now, Kofi has taken the place of the injured Mustafa Ali at this Sunday's event, and the setup of the match on SmackDown was that the winner of the Gauntlet would earn the advantage of entering Sunday's Chamber last, presumably when some of the other competitors had already been eliminated, so it is a big advantage. But Kofi starts the match off with world champion Daniel Bryan. And in an incredible showdown between the two of them, Kofi Kingston earns a clean pin over the WWE champion after Daniel Bryan's bodyguard slash protege, I'm not sure what to call him, Rowan, was ejected from ringside by the referee. Daniel Bryan attempted to capitalize on the distraction by going for the running knee, but Kofi surprised the champ with the Trouble in Paradise followed by the clean pinfall. Jeff Hardy was out next to face Kofi, and Kingston kept his momentum rolling, earning the 1-2-3 after connecting with the SOS. And this brings out a fresh Samoa Joe. and things are about to get a little hairy for Kofi Kingston. And at this point, Kofi's been in this match for over 45 minutes. But Kofi would counter the Coquina clutch using his feet to push off the top turnbuckle and pin Joe's shoulders to the mat for yet another win. In the process, Samoa Joe snaps, locks on the Coquina clutch again, locks it onto an exhausted Kofi before AJ Styles comes in to fight Joe off. So now we've got Kofi and AJ, and Kofi hits the 60-minute mark now during the battle with Styles before eventually falling to the calf crutcher, but leaving to a standing ovation from the crowd as he was helped to the back by Big E and Xavier Woods. So shout out to Kofi, man. He really did it on, really did big things on Tuesday night. And this sets up Kofi as someone who, while he's not going to win on Sunday, he's someone to be taken seriously within the chamber. He's not somebody who's just thrown in there to fill in a spot. This really makes Kofi look strong. But I just feel bad for Mustafa Ali, because you have to wonder if this 60-minute Iron Man performance would have been Mustafa Ali's on SmackDown, if not for the injury. Let's wrap it up with number 5. Finally, someone who has really lost their way on Raw, sad to say, is Elias. I was so excited to see Elias getting the babyface run a couple months back. I just felt like the crowd wanted to cheer him. And I thought that the babyface run really reinvigorated his character, and the potential for a big-time run was there. Then fucking Jeff Jarrett shows up at the Royal Rumble, brings the Road Dogg back with him, and suddenly Elias is a heel again with seemingly no reason for it. And honestly, hitting Double J with a guitar makes Elias seem more of a babyface for me, since Jeff Jarrett has always been a channel changer in a negative way. And I just really thought Elias was a guy who could have an IC title run in 2019, maybe even be a Royal Rumble contender in 2020 on his way to a big-time Mania match next year. I wasn't thinking about a big match for Elias at Mania in 2019. I was really thinking 2019 was going to kind of be that upper mid-card title push, maybe even take it over to SmackDown and do the shtick for a new audience, and then eventually toward the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, we start to think of Elias as a legitimate world title contender. But now he's taken many steps backward. He's feuding with a 51-year-old man, and the 51-year-old man's overweight roadie, and he's back into the same formula that he was using this time last year and this time the year before that. It's no good for Elias, and it especially isn't good for the fans. But let's end it on a positive note, as we've got to give a big shout-out to All Elite Wrestling for the huge couple of weeks that they have had. Their ticket announcement party in Vegas for the Double or Nothing show Memorial Day weekend was a hit, as Kenny Omega was announced as not only a roster talent, but also the senior vice president of the company. And Kenny is set to have a big rematch with Chris Jericho at the big event in May. The Lucha Bros, Pentagon and Phoenix, are going to take on the Young Bucks at the show. We'll get Pac versus Hangman Page as well. But the biggest news of the week is the report that AEW has sold out their Double or Nothing show, which looks to hold about 14,000 people, in about 4 minutes. 4 minutes! This just proves that the desire for AEW is there. The desire for change and desire for a wrestling revolution and something new and something to shake up the system is there. The people are worked into a fervor over the potential for this promotion. And the fans are willing to travel. It's expensive to go to Vegas on Memorial Day weekend, but they're willing to travel and they're willing to pay to see what AEW can offer. And that wasn't even all. Reports leaked out that AEW is going to be running U.S. shows in June and July, then the Royal Albert Hall in London, England in August, then All In 2, aka All Out, in September, presumably from the Sears Center in Chicago again, if rumors are to become true, and then weekly television for All Elite Wrestling in October. That is the rumor on a still unidentified network. My cohort, Jason Calcibetta, seems to think that it is going to be TBS, which, what a weird string of irony that would be if a competitor, a legitimate competitor to WWE emerges, and they do it on a Turner network, a network that over a decade ago just decided that they didn't want to be in the wrestling business anymore. They didn't want to have wrestling on their airwaves. So this is exciting stuff from a company that is seemingly poised to change the look of pro wrestling in 2019. And honestly, it could not come at a better time. Judging by what we see on Raw and SmackDown every week, we are more than ready for something new in the world of pro wrestling. And it looks like AEW is going to do everything they can to give it to us. And that has been your Take 5 this week on the Rhino Wrestling Review.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh man alive, it's number 5.
I'll be back in segment 2 with a little Elimination Chamber preview, so don't go anywhere.
There's a lot of beef out here.
Segment here on the Rhino Wrestling Review. Very special edition of the Rhino Wrestling Review because it's Valentine's Day.
Valentine.
And I'm joined by my Valentine, my wife, Jessica Rhino.
Hi, everybody.
Also a veteran of the Rhino Wrestling Review. She's been on the show when Nikki Bella was on Dancing with the Stars. She said, come on and give her breakdown of the Paso Doble and the cha-cha and
tango.
And the tango, the Viennese waltz.
Yeah,
those. And all that stuff going on. But it's Valentine's Day. We've been married, almost 16 years now?
Yeah.
So, and still going strong because we don't have kids.
Yeah.
If we had kids, we would have no fun ever.
No fun.
And we probably wouldn't like each other. But we don't. And we're enjoying life. So thanks for coming on the show so I'm not here all by myself for the entire show. And the reason we brought you on here is because we are going to do some picks for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which I know you're looking forward to this Sunday.
Yeah.
Can you name 3 people that will be participating on the card? And I will give you 3 strikes, too.
Okay. Guys or girls?
Either.
Okay.
I like that helps at all.
It does. Okay, I know some girls. Okay. There's Lana.
Lana is...
I can remember her because she's from Smallville.
Lana is on... not Lana Lang, Superman's girlfriend. Lana is on the roster. I don't believe she's on the card, though.
Okay.
So I got to give you a strike on that one. Lana, by the way, was your pick to win the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
And a lot of people scoffed at that pick.
Well, screw you guys.
However, it would be Lana's position in the Royal Rumble that won the entire thing.
I know things, and I'm good at picking things.
You are very good at picking things. You're good. You're the best guesser that I've ever seen.
The best guesser.
And I act like I know a lot about wrestling, but I'm wrong probably 75-80% of the time, which would be a good free throw percentage. However, it is not good for picking wrestling matches.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to give me three names of competitors, stormy combatants that are on this card, and you have one strike.
Okay, you wrestling guys, I want my cred because I used to be a big-time wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
I watched...
You were Attitude Era girl.
Is that what that was called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when wrestling was good. That's what we called it.
I am not up to anything current, though.
You were the Stone Cold Mick Foley,
Love Mick.
Jericho coming over to WWE.
Yeah, the Y2J, the whole countdown thing. Mm-hmm. I was there for all of that.
That was so good. We can go back and watch one of those. Because you won't do a watch along with me anymore since I made you watch like
the worst one
World
ever.
Rumble 89 or something like that. And there was
I was like seriously falling asleep. And I don't fall asleep places.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was bad. Stalling. I really am.
Mick Foley is not on the card, by the way, but I'm not counting that as one of your strikes.
No, I was just giving Mick some love. I'm going to go with... I know some more of the girls' names.
That's fine.
Because I picked them and I can't remember.
Then you don't know them. You can't do this, can you?
No. No. I'm going to bail out.
You're going to tap out. You're going to claim defeat. But we'll see.
Bellas?
The Bellas are currently on the roster, not on the card.
Is there a Lita?
There used to be a Lita.
I remember her. She was the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, she's
current. See, I know my stuff. I just don't know anything.
She's currently
current.
In the WWE Hall of Fame, and she shows up a couple times a year to do a moonsault, and then we don't see her for another 6 months. But she's not on the card.
Okay. The crazy chick wears all the makeup.
Crazy chick that wears all the makeup. John Cena? Is that what
you
said?
No, not John Cena.
You're whispering something to me and I can't tell what you're whispering. Yet you whispered it like right into the microphone.
They didn't hear me.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
You're talking about Asuka?
Asuka? Is that the, like, yeah. Sure, Asuka.
Okay, you got one. Asuka? You got one.
Yes.
Asuka, I don't think so on the
what
card.
What about...
she's the woman's champion. I don't think she's on the card, though.
What about the Ninja Warrior chick?
Casey Catanzaro.
Yes.
Also not on the card. She is part of NXT, which is the developmental territory. You're a big fan of Casey Catanzaro.
From Ninja Warrior.
Not familiar with her pro wrestling short-lived
started,
career.
Right?
That's true.
So
that's fair.
Yeah. Oh, MMA chick.
What's her name? She's like the biggest women's athlete on the planet.
Not really. I mean, come on.
She don't give a damn about her reputation.
I know, but I don't really give a damn either.
This is great. This is great radio, by the way. If you're enjoying this, send us an email at rhinowrestlingreview@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. And if you come across the name of that young lady, then I will give you a point. Let's get into the matches.
She does the elbow thing.
That would be an arm bar.
Yeah.
You're like dislocating your elbow right now.
My joints are fucked up anyway, so it doesn't matter. She could do that to me all day. I wouldn't tap because my elbow's do bend the wrong way.
Yeah. Shout out to anybody suffering from lupus.
Yeah.
So.
Second appearance of lupus today.
Yeah. Maybe we should do like a
lupus awareness.
Yeah, awareness week or something like that. That's why we got Jess on the show. A match is probably going to be on the pre-show. It is for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship, Jess. These are gentlemen that are 205 pounds and under. Although I believe one of these gentlemen looks like he's about 245.
I don't know what that means.
He looks like he's about 40 pounds over the 205-pound limit, but he is the champion. It's going to be Buddy Murphy taking on Akira Tozawa.
Yeah, don't know who either of those are. I always call him Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura is on the roster, not on the card, I don't believe.
Okay.
But you're right. You're doing pretty good. You got Shinsuke.
Shinsuke.
So Buddy Murphy has been your Cruiserweight champ for a little while now. He's kind of having I'm filling you in here. Okay. He's kind of having a little run here. And Akira Tozawa is a gentleman that kind of makes sounds like our dog just made. He goes, ha! 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 Yeah, like that. Ha! Ha!
Well, that's stupid, so not him.
Okay, so Buddy Murphy
is, yes, we're gonna go with Buddy.
Retained the Cruiserweight Championship. I agree. Buddy Murphy will retain the Cruiserweight Championship. This is probably going to be a pretty good match, and it's probably going to be on the kickoff show. Although my dog is not happy with the... I guess he's a Akira Tozawa fan? I don't know. How about Bobby Lashley defending his Intercontinental Championship against Finn Balor?
Oh, I've heard of him.
Which one?
Finn.
We have a little bit of an interesting twist on this match, Jess, just so you know. This is a handicap match. Bobby Lashley is actually going to be teaming up with his protege, Leo Rush, who looks like if they put Bobby Lashley in the dryer for too long, Leo Rush is what would come out.
He smells great.
He smells great, and he is about 150 pounds less than
Spring Fresh.
Bobby Lashley. Yes. Mountain spring freshness. But Bobby Lashley is teaming up with Leo Rush to go against Finn Balor for the Intercontinental title. So technically, Finn could pin Leo and walk out with
Daniel,
the title.
Let me tell you what's going to happen here. Mountain Fresh is going to turn on his buddy, and Finn is going to win.
No.
Yep.
Wow. I did not see that one coming. I kind of saw this as Bobby Lashley retaining the title because Finn Balor, I think, is a guy who I talked about in the first segment. He is a guy that the fans really want them to push, but Vince McMahon's not going to get behind him because he is about my size, and he doesn't have enough beef.
You know, yes, but if Mountain Fresh cheats and gets him the win that way, then it's not legit.
Interesting.
And so Vince is like, well, he's still a little tiny guy, and he doesn't deserve to be a wrestler, but he won because somebody cheated for him.
Interesting.
So everybody wins.
That's an interesting take. I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley retaining because I think Finn Balor is going to eventually get that Intercontinental title, but I think it's going to be at WrestleMania. And again, my dog disagrees. He's not happy with my picks. We have the Raw Women's Champion. A former MMA star, a former UFC champion, a UFC Hall of Famer. What are you saying?
Misha, Trisha.
It is not Misha Tate. It's she Mia. Fought Misha Tate.
Misha Tate, yeah, see.
It is, but Misha that Tate. Would be one.
Ronda Rousey. I said it before you did.
You did, I'll give you credit for that. Ronda Rousey. Of the,
I've heard all these names. I just don't keep them straight in my head.
It's like when you listen to country music and walk
all
around
the
house.
Yes,
it seeps into my consciousness, so I know bits and pieces. So when I'm always talking about wrestling, it seeps into your consciousness a little bit too.
Well, not just you. The TV is always on wrestling, and the podcast.
I feel like your true feelings are coming out here.
I was just saying it seeps in.
I'm
going to
let him know everything I've wanted to say all these years.
Oh, God.
About your fascination with this fake fighting thing. So Ronda Rousey has RR as her initials, and she's taken on another young lady who has RR in her initials. That would be Ruby Riott. And Ruby Riott's kind of...
I picked her, didn't I?
I don't know.
Picked a Ruby? I think I picked a Ruby.
Ruby.
Because Ruby's the chick in Darkest Minds, so I think that's why I picked it. See, I picked Lana because of
Smallville, right.
And Ruby because of Darkest Minds.
So Ruby is kind of getting a little bit of a showcase match here. She hasn't really had a one-on-one high-profile match, much less on a pay-per-view in quite a while, so this is... I don't expect her to come out with a win here, but I'm kind of hoping that she's going to at least get a good showing here. But we fully expect Ronda to take that title into WrestleMania. But what are your thoughts on Ronda Rousey defending against Ruby Riott? Does Ruby have a shot here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ruby. Probably won't be Ruby, but I just don't want to get on the Ronda Rousey wagon.
What don't you like about Ronda Rousey?
Her face?
That's such a girl answer. I thought you were going to say, like...
No, it's not, because, like, if I was like, I don't like the Bellas because they're pretty, that's a girl answer. Rhonda, I don't think she's pretty, and I think she just always looks mad.
I think she's pretty. Ish.
She's not the Bellas.
She's got a big mole that I think is she might need to get a dermatologist to look at it. I'm kind of worried about it.
And she's always doing angry face.
Well, that's kind of her gimmick.
I know, and I don't like it.
The reason I don't like, I do respect what she's been able to do in transitioning to pro wrestling, but she's just not a nice person. She's like in MMA, she was a heel. She wouldn't shake hands with people. Even after she beat somebody, she wouldn't even shake hands with the person after the fight. After she, you know, broke the girl's arm, wouldn't even, you know, give them props for hanging in there and being a competitor. She just was not a nice person. Thinks very highly of herself, as she should, because, you know, the prominence she rose to. But I just really think that she could have been a better heel in wrestling, and the fans are starting to actually boo her a little bit. But I definitely see Ronda Rousey coming out with the title, but you think Ruby could pull the upset?
I'm going to go with Ruby.
Let's go with a match that is probably going to be my bathroom match on Sunday, and that's going to be Braun Strowman taking on Baron Corbin. There's really no reason for this match other than these guys
I've heard of both of those names.
Braun says, get these hands!
I don't care about either of those names.
Yeah, neither does my dog. So the story between these two kind of goes all the way back to November, where Baron Corbin cost Braun Strowman a chance at the Universal title by ambushing him. And then they were supposed to have a match at the TLC pay-per-view, but Braun Strowman wasn't medically cleared to compete. And now we're going to get them one-on-one with no stakes on the line. So that's going to be my bathroom match. So Braun Strowman against Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, in case you're wondering, he wrestles in a dress vest. Like a vest that you would wear
Just telling me things that you know are going to piss me off, and I'm not going to like them. Don't want me to pick them.
No, I'm trying to give you context. Braun wears like a very low-cut tank top, so his boobs kind of hang out. And he says, get these hands! And Baron Corbin wrestles in a dress vest.
So can I pick neither of them?
You could. Like a double DQ or something like
that?
Yes. Okay, so double count out, double disqualification, no contest.
Yeah, somebody's going to come in and fuck everything up and mess it all up.
And you can say fuck on this show,
yes,
by the way.
I'm excited.
on your other podcast, you're not allowed to. You got to keep it PG. You can say whatever the fuck you want on this podcast, though.
Yeah, well, I already said piss me off. I was I can do it on this one.
Yeah, you just let loose, lady. I'm going to go with Braun Strowman because there's really no reason to. Baron Corbin's not a credible heel right now, and it would really hurt Braun to get a loss here. So I'm going to go with Braun Strowman to win. Did you know Shane McMahon's wrestling, like, a lot now?
I didn't like him before.
What if I told you, like, he's, like, 50 now?
Well, I know.
Like, you like him any better now?
No.
What if I told you him and The Miz were tag team champions?
Like, I don't like any of the McMahons.
Whoa. Yeah.
No, I really can't stand Vince. In his voice. Like, I just can't. Like, if he just didn't talk, I'd be okay, probably. But I can't stand his voice.
What about when he talks about beef?
No.
He likes beef.
I don't even understand that.
The thing with Vince McMahon over the years, he's always, like, the big, hulking, like, muscular, like, steroid-induced gentleman. Mm-hmm. So, he likes a lot of beef. But
he had, like, a whole thing back when I was watching about how big his, testicles were.
Yeah.
Like, he had to talk about that every single time he came out.
I mean, I think he...
Cantaloupes.
Like, might have ended up
having... Cantaloupes.
What if he had, like a medical condition or something, and he thought he was just bragging, but...
And it messed his voice up?
I would think it would... Well, maybe that's why he... God damn, pal!
Because the weight is pulling down. It's like pulling it. It just pulls, yeah, it pulls everything down.
Pulls at his jowls.
And it pulls it tight, and that's why. Yeah.
That's why it
sounds like that.
Well, Shane McMahon and The Miz are tag team champions, believe it or not, on SmackDown. And they're taking on The Usos. And to give you a little context here, The Usos are related to The Rock. Mm-hmm. In some way. All the Samoans are in some way related in wrestling. Mm-hmm. So they're in some way related to The Rock, like second cousins or something like that. You remember Rikishi? He had the big... No. He used to do the stink face to people? Like wipe his ass on people? Like big Rikishi? Yeah!
Yeah, okay.
This is his sons, the Usos. They're okay. Twins. And they are challenging The Miz and Shane McMahon for the tag team titles. But an extra context here that TMZ came out with a report this week that Jimmy Uso, we know TMZ.
They know everything.
They know everything. Jimmy Uso is married to Naomi, who is one of the other female wrestlers. And they were pulled over because Naomi was driving the wrong way down a one-way street, I believe, in Los Angeles.
Well, we've all done that.
And
really. If you're being honest with yourself, you've done that.
Apparently, I have. I have.
I have, too.
But the officer was nice enough to me to actually draw me a map to get where I needed to go.
I didn't get pulled over.
But...
so I'm better
than my defense, my car did not reek of alcohol like the Usos' car did when they got pulled over the other day.
It wasn't my car.
Pardon me?
I wasn't driving my car. I was driving somebody else's car the wrong way down the road.
Did it reek of alcohol?
No, but I was really afraid it was going to blow up.
Interesting.
That was the one. It was shaking real bad, mm-hmm. And you couldn't go a certain speed, and yeah, no, it wasn't happy.
So Jimmy Uso, his wife gets asked to step out of the car, presumably because of the smell of alcohol, and Jimmy Uso takes his jacket off, takes his shirt off, and squares up to the officer like he's going to fight him.
Daniel, that's not a smart move.
No, it's not. He could be dead right now.
Yeah.
And apparently the officer got his taser out and was thinking about tasing him. Jimmy Uso's lucky he's not in the land of wind and ghosts right now. Because you have to be super drunk and or super dumb to do something like that. It's mind-boggling. So I'm kind of wondering, this is kind of Jimmy Uso's second run-in with stuff like this. I think last time it was, I don't remember if it was like a DUI or DWI or something like that. This was last year. I'm wondering if that is going to affect how they book this matchup. WWE kind of has a tendency to punish people when they make outside of the ring mistakes, and I wouldn't think that they would really reward the Usos by giving them the titles. So does the TMZ report change your pick at all?
Well, I hadn't decided before you read it.
Okay, but so now that you have all the information.
Pick, now that I have all of the
now
information.
Now that you know that Shane McMahon is 50, now that you know that the Usos are related to Rikishi, who's related to The Rock, now that you know that one of the Usos likes to take off his shirt when he gets pulled over and square up to cops.
What if
the cop gets involved?
No. What if Shane doesn't die of a heart attack?
Okay.
First of all, and the drunk Uso,
mm-hmm. Jimmy.
Jimmy gets,
and maybe Jay, we don't know.
Gets hurt,
mm-hmm.
Knocked out,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't really participate in the other one. Gets the win.
Interesting.
So and he's, then he's also out for a little while because of his injury, Jimmy.
His quote injury.
Injury, yeah.
Right.
Where he's got to go to rehab or something.
So you think the Usos walk away with the titles?
Just one.
Just one of the Usos walks away with both titles?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of think...
They're both partners.
Yeah.
But the one doesn't really participate.
Sure. Okay. I kind of think the Usos, despite the legal troubles of Mr. Jimmy Uso, I kind of think that the Usos are going to walk out with the titles too, because I kind of think that they're setting up, even though Shane and The Miz are getting along really good right now, I think the long-term goal is to have them face off at WrestleMania So I think the breakup's got to happen sometime. Seeing as though we're less than 2 months away from WrestleMania, I think that the Usos are going to walk out with the titles. We got two matches left.
Okay.
And these are both going to take place inside the hellish structure known as the Elimination Chamber, Jessica. Do you know what the Elimination Chamber is?
It is a fence cage. Of some sort. I know there's different variations.
Okay, so here's the variation here. We have the ring in the middle, but then outside the ring we have four pods that the wrestlers are locked in. And we start off the match with two wrestlers, and it's basically an elimination match with six people. Whenever somebody is pinned or submitted, they have to leave the cage, and the last person standing is the winner. And I think like every 5 minutes, one of the pods opens up and somebody gets entered into the fray. So there's an advantage to be the last person to come in, because by the time you come in, some people could have already been eliminated.
Or you could have that guy who just sits in the corner.
Yeah.
And nobody can get him out anyway.
That would be me. I wouldn't leave the pod. I'd just take a nap in there. Like the Hunger Games. Just go into a cave and take a nap and then wake up and hopefully win. But we've got the WWE Championship. Daniel Bryan right now is kind of doing a... I think you might have overheard one of the promos that I played the other day on my phone. He's doing this big tree hugger promo right now where he only... Like he's a vegan and he only changed the belt. Like the belt had a leather strap, so he threw that belt away because some cow had to die to make that belt, and he got like an eco-friendly belt right now.
He threw the cow's body in the trash?
Yes.
That's very respectful.
Yeah, I guess he should have had
a burial at least, for it or something.
I believe he called the cow Daisy. Daisy was the cow that
Oh, that makes it even worse, yeah. That he named it and then threw it
in the garbage.
Threw it in the trash.
So how you're a big fan of people that are very in your face about eco stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of not liking them.
Oh!
Obviously.
So Daniel Bryan is in the match here. We've also got AJ Styles. We've also got Jeff Hardy. You know Jeff Hardy.
I know Jeff Hardy. I know the Hardy Boys.
We've also got Samoa Joe. We've also got Randy Orton, who goes to your PetSmart that you work at.
Yep.
And we've also got Kofi Kingston, who is replacing the injured Mustafa Ali. You know Kofi?
No.
Okay. So, Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles. Jeff Hardy. Daniel Bryan is going in as the champ, and I will tell you that Randy Orton earned the right to enter the Elimination Chamber last, so he is kind of in the pole position right now. Who's walking out with that title on Sunday?
I'm going to go with PetSmart guy.
Randy Orton,
yes.
Mr. RKO PetSmart guy.
I talked to him last week when we were grooming his dog.
And you were working one day and you said, there's a picture of this guy, this like
buff guy, big buff guy with his dog.
I think he's an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
Said, no, that's
one of the guys you might know or something.
No, that's Randy Orton.
I just figured he was a little
What kind of dog did he have?
A bully breed mix.
Okay.
Pit mix, probably.
Gotcha. So you're going with Randy Orton to walk out of the Elimination Chamber with the title around his waist?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan, just because they just kind of started this whole thing with the new belt, and they've got him like kind of like a big bodyguard now. He's the only one that I really see that could come out of there and really, you know, kind of have any juice behind it. I think we've seen Randy Orton walk into WrestleMania with the title around his waist before, and although the RKO is a very over move right now, and always has been, I just don't really see anybody else other than Daniel Bryan coming out of that chamber. But you're going with St. Louis's own Randy Orton.
Yes.
All right, and the final match we're going to talk about. Now, this is also inside the Elimination Chamber. However, this time it's going to be tag teams. So inside each pod will be two people, and we will start off with two tag teams in the ring.
I really hope somebody gets in a fight while they're still in their cage, their pod.
Still in their cage? With their partner?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it could happen. But this is for the inaugural WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. So the
oh, it's women. Somebody's definitely getting in a fight while they're in their pod.
Women can't be in an enclosed area for that long.
No.
So who you're saying whoever comes in last, when the last pod is open, they will have already been in a fight. Because they will have been in the
well, no, if you're going with the last ones to come out, then they probably have gotten into a fight and then gotten...
And then made up.
Made up already. And then they'll probably win.
Because they'll be stronger for having gone through the strife together. You need to do these shows with me more often. You really keep me on my toes and give me a whole new perspective of how to look at professional wrestling. And I really appreciate it. Because most of the time, professional wrestling is the drizzling shits. But this makes a lot of sense. So the winners of this match are going to be the first ever WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. So this is a pretty historic match. We have got Sasha Banks and Bayley, also known as the Boss and Hug Connection.
I don't like that.
We've got Nia Jax and Tamina. I believe...
I know who Nia Jax is.
Nia Jax, I believe...
She's really big?
She's really big.
Okay.
She's not like most girls. And she's also related to The Rock.
Okay.
We've also got two members of the Riot Squad, Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. Liv Morgan is kind of doing like a Harley Quinn gimmick right now. And Sarah Logan's like the Crocodile Hunter.
I'm going to say I have not seen... I don't know either of them, but I have seen the Harley Quinn thing.
We've got Naomi, the one who just got pulled over the other day with Jimmy Uso, teaming up with Carmella. Carmella is F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
Okay.
She's fabulous.
See, this is why I don't watch wrestling, because all these gimmicks sound really dumb.
It's not great, Jess. I'm going to tell you. It's not great. It's not even good. Then we've also got Mandy Rose teaming up with Sonya Deville. She is a former MMA fighter. And
former Disney brat, like Cruella Deville?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Am I leaving somebody out? I got the Boston Hug Connection. I got Nia Jax and Tamina. Oh, I'm leaving out the Iconics. They are from Australia. And they don't win very often. But my partner, Will Lewis, is really
smitten.
Very smitten with these two young, pretty Australian girls. So we've got Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, Naomi and Carmella, Nia Jax and Tamina, Sasha Banks and Bayley, Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan, and the Iconics.
Okay, so Harley Quinn and Crocodile Dundee.
I like it, yeah.
Are the ones that are going to get in a fight in their pod.
Interesting. That'd be a twist.
But it doesn't mean they make up. It
right, they
last.
Make up, and then they're stronger.
But they're going to argue about something and kind of get little catfighty in there, and then they'll be better.
Sure.
I'm not saying they're going to win, though. I think I'm going to go with Nia Jax.
Nia Jax and Tamina. That's a very good pick. That's a very good pick. I think... I think it's got to either come down to Nia Jax and Tamina and Sasha Banks and Bayley. Sasha Banks right now is kind of doing an injury thing, so that could kind of, her nursing the injury could kind of give them an excuse for, oh, we fought hard, but we didn't come out with the win at the end, and Nia Jax and Tamina were just too big and tough for them. And then that could give Sasha Banks and Bayley a chance to chase the titles, maybe even leading into WrestleMania. Maybe capture those titles at WrestleMania in a big moment. So, you're going with Nia Jax and Tamina?
Yes.
I'm also going with Nia Jax and Tamina. So, maybe I'm just going with you because you're usually right, and I want to be right too, and I want people to think I'm smart.
It's possible.
All right, so you're definitely looking forward to the Elimination Chamber. You're going to be watching with me...
Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of busy.
What if I make popcorn?
Well, it is Sunday night, right?
It is. And we don't have to work on Monday.
We don't have to work on Monday. Well, okay. Probably.
Yes.
Can I read a book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can. So, Elimination Chamber this Sunday. Jessica Rhino is going to be watching. You got anything you want to plug, a Twitter or a Instagram or book blog or anything like that?
I am on Twitter, but I don't do much on it.
Yeah, I don't do much on Twitter either. Nobody cares.
I have a book blog, but I seriously doubt any of your...
Whoa! Readers,
your listeners.
Whoa!
Read YA Fantasy.
That is a strong accusation strong against the listeners of the Rhino Wrestling Review. Send your hate tweets to @JessRhino, I believe it is. JessRhino. Send your hate tweets and tell us a... Tell her what your favorite YA fiction book is and put her in her place. You can always,
and then I'll quiz you about it. So don't just pick up random.
Yeah, she's tough. She doesn't mess around. She's not going to let you get away with your bullshit. Yeah. Definitely doesn't let me do it. And I'm a better man for it. So first of all, happy Valentine's Day. I love you very much.
I love you too.
And thanks for coming on the show so I'm not just Mr. Lonely over here. And if you have any questions, comments, or follow up, let us know how you enjoyed the Elimination Chamber. Send us anything you'd like to say at rhinowrestlingreview@gmail.com, and we will give you a shout out on the show. You can follow the show @rhino_wrestling. You can follow me @DanRhino all on Twitter. You can also follow the show on Facebook. And if you're enjoying what we do, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform you listen to. So thanks to Jessica. Thanks to ProWrestling.com for helping us put this wonderful shit show on for you every week. And Jessica, I think it's about that time that we remind everybody something that you never do.
I do know this.
And especially not on Valentine's Day. It's vitally important.
Or Rusev Day.
And this year, Valentine's Day and Rusev Day fall on the same day.
Mm-hmm. That's why I got more than one present, right?
Yes. What do we need to make sure that we remind everybody to do?
We don't kick out of each other's finishers.
See ya.
Bye.
There's a lot of beef out here.
Hey. It's the R to the Y, N to the O, on a block like a tortoise with a slow, on a block like a baker, cause I'm picking up my dough, and when